Good morning, it's Sunday, March 14th.
Lord, we thank you. Well, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for the way that you look after your children, O Lord.
Yes.
That you provide what we need. Oh, we thank you. Just as the children of the Hebrew children were out in the desert and they got manna, O Lord, you provide, O Lord, in that same kind of way, and we thank you for that. We ask that your blessings would flow this morning, O Lord, that your truth would flow, that we would have ears to hear, Lord, and that you would bring to our mind, bring to our spirit, bring to our whatever, your truths. That sweet, sweet thing that you have for your children, Lord, we thank you for that. And we ask that there be a manifestation of that here this morning by your Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, I have... I had the same scripture in my mind a number of times over the week, over this last week, which is in Hebrews 12:2. It says, in verse 1, it says, "Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God." It says, despising the shame. And in the Galatians, I want to say it's in the sixth chapter, I'm not sure. It says that everyone to hang on a tree is a curse. And I'm not sure this is taken from a verse in the, I think, the 21st chapter of Deuteronomy. So I'm not sure if that's talking about the same as where Jesus hung out, just hung out on a cross, or if this was actually people who died by being hung by the neck. I'm not sure what it means, but God puts a curse on anyone that died on a tree or died on the cross, whatever. And it tells us in Galatians that he would made a curse for us. And I don't know what that means. I just know, I know what it says. But the thought pattern here in the second verse is that, we know that, would Jesus need incentive to go to the cross? Well, here it looks like that he did. You know, it says, "Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." It's almost like that he not only had incentive, but incentive had something to do with his enduring the cross. I don't know if that's actually true as we see it, but and despising the shame. Because God had said that anyone who died on a cross or died on a tree was under a curse. It was a curse. And so, let me see if I can find it in Galatians.
You know, when we see a painting or whatever of Jesus on the cross, he's always got a loincloth on. I don't know that he had a loincloth. And real life, you know, so that despising the shame becomes a little more vivid when you think of him up there naked, and that's terrible. I mean, how do you come up with pain more intense than what he was experiencing for such a long period of time? Big crowd in front of him. So, despising the shame, whew, that's putting it pretty lightly.
Yeah. It says, well, this is in Galatians 3. I knew there was a star by it. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. And then when I looked it up in Deuteronomy, it's doubtful whether it's the same kind of a hanging. It's almost like people are, you know, hanged by the neck or something. I told Clayton to Rodney one time, and just teasing at it, well, you realize that maybe some of our relatives hung by their tails. Just teasing him. He says, yeah, he says, and a lot of other ones hung by their necks. Which doesn't say anything good about us, you know, but anyway, it says that Abraham, he went where God wanted him to leave the Ur of the Chaldees, and he took Lot and a couple of other people with him. And but it says that he went not knowing where he was going to go. But there was one thing about Abraham that stood out. He was looking for a city where builder and founder was God. And you know, I thought about that. I thought, you know, how many people when they go to a city look for a church where builder and founder is God?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, amen.
And yet, that is what God wants us to do.
How many people go to church and are looking for anything?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, to get looking their, for fellowship and looking for, you know, whatever. But
try to get their conscience eased a little bit.
They're looking to be seen. Look, I was in church today.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
I look like a person. Yeah. Went to church.
Because they don't show up, they're going to talk about it.
Right. Well, I was listening in my truck, I think, or whatever, and I heard this setting of scripture, and I just got excited, just, you know, and this might only be for me, I don't know, but it was like, wow, this is the gospel of Christ. This is how I want to be identified with this. And it's, and we've read a lot of different aspects of it, but I'm going to go over it again because, and then it relates to, and then I'm going to go to a scripture in Galatians, but it's Romans 6. And if you're going to, well, I'll just read, I'm going to read, you know, a good 10, 12 verses probably. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we live who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, and just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him, for the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Maybe I'll stop there, but 90% or whatever, we weren't, of the church does not have this truth. You know, how many references are there that to Christ's flesh, you know? I mean, the whole thing, you can't die if you're gonna. God is not flesh. God has no flesh. God is spirit. Now, so God can't be flesh. It's impossible. He's a spirit. He's spirit. Now, his spirit can reside in flesh, because we have it saying that we have the Spirit of God in us. So, if you can grasp, I mean, if this is somebody new listening to a tape or something that we're doing here, if you can grasp what all this is saying, I mean, because if you don't understand the baptisms, you know, the baptism that you're doing with Christ, then I don't think you can really be saved. I mean, how can you be if you don't identify with who he really is? You know? You're just playing around and acting like, because man's mind says, well, it's this, this, and this, and you just say this, and you know. I mean, and I'll tell you, I'm not walking in this like I want to, for sure. You know, I'm lacking. But it's kind of like because in Galatians, I thought, and then I was reading along this morning and I was jumping around a little. I mean, Galatians, grace to you, right, first chapter. Grace to you and peace from God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us from this present evil age according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. I marvel that you are turning away so soon from him who called you in the grace of Christ to a different gospel. I think that runs right along with what I just read in 6, you know, in Romans 6. Now, this what's in Romans 6 gets said in different ways and with a lot of the same emphasis, so in other parts of the scripture, that's just one setting. But if that's the gospel, then if you don't have it, you had it and turn away from it, then you're hearing what's being said in Galatians. And I don't know, it really made an impact on me for some reason. Again, the importance of identifying Christ with Christ as a man. That's the only way you're going to get set free from sin. You have to die with him in baptism and be resurrected with him to new life, to righteousness. And if you don't see it that way, then you're not receiving it, you know? And we need to just go before the Lord and humble ourselves, you know? I didn't get this, anybody here that's in our group didn't get this by us studying the Word. We received it because the Holy Spirit presented it, showed us, you know? It took a while, but he guided us to the truth. And so I would just say, humble yourself. Go before the Lord and say, hey, am I being stubborn about some doctrines? You know, shouldn't I just ask the Father to show me the truth? Be- because that's what I think pretty much everyone here has done. And he's been faithful. And it doesn't matter if 90% of the church thinks something else, you know? It don't matter. I mean, for one, that there's so many scriptures that tell us it is never going to be the whole group. It's a small, it's a remnant and a narrow path, and, you know, so obviously it's not accepted by everyone, God's truth, because he says he hides it, you know, he hides it. If you want to be thinking you're intelligent and wise and full of knowledge, you aren't going to get it, because he won't let you. You know, he wants the lowly, humble that come before him that know that, say, they need a physician. They know they're sick. They know they're in sin. And they want to be renewed, you know. That's who he reveals his truth to. And if you have the right heart for God, this will prick your heart. I that's what I felt when I was reading it and kind of praying about it. I said, you know, if you have the heart of God, what you've heard, if you heard it this morning for maybe the first time or whatever, it will prick your heart. And I believe that you'll respond if you have a heart for God. Maybe not immediately, but you'll respond. So, and these things are, it kind of woke me up a little. These things are getting to be very important in this day and age. You know, because who knows how much time we have left. And you don't want to miss out, you know. Mm-hmm. And I'm even dilly-dallying around the way I'm living maybe my life, saying, gee, like I got forever, but I don't, you know. But the good part is I'm concerned about it, which God has put there, fortunately, you know. And it's like the joy set people. You know what Christ went through on the cross? I mean, that was all for us, and God didn't die. God can't die. So you have to accept that he was a man. And I mean, what greater example to have than one of your own kind who did it perfectly? Mm-hmm. Isn't that what they're looking for as a Savior and a Messiah? You know? Now, he didn't come the way they wanted. You know? It has nothing to do with natural kingdoms and countries and rulers or whatever. It has to do with the kingdom of God, which is spiritual, you know. And that's what fooled so many of them. They just couldn't see it, you know. That isn't what they had in mind, you know. It's like, God, you're not listening to us. That's not the right plan, you know. Well, of course, God doesn't have to listen to anybody. And if you read in there, it's like, I mean, in other places that go along with this, in Ephesians, it gives a great example. Galatians, as you read farther on, gives great examples that he appointed him to sit at his right hand, you know? And he made him what he is, and he sent him to be what he was, you know? I mean, and it's a glorious thing that, I think about, here's Jesus Christ, who's my example, and I can't even begin to comprehend how he walked the way he walked. But he's given us a vehicle or a way to be like him in the fact that we can continually seek forgiveness. And when you do, you've reached the state he wants at that point, at that time. Now, if we keep sinning, then we need to keep repenting. But you know, he's just saying, if you accept what I did, that gives you, you're an heir with me to the kingdom of God. You become a son, as I am a son, to our Father. You know, and God affirms that, you know, where we cry, Abba, Father. You know, I think that's in Galatians. So, it's just, I just looked at that, thought, if I could start walking in that, knowing that every minute of the day, wow, you know. So, and obviously I'm not, but the fact is, if you want and you seek to and desire to and you make an attempt to, you're walking in the right path, you know.
So, as you were speaking, I realized for my, purely for myself, you know, I can say a bunch of pretty words about this stuff, but oh, to be identifying with Jesus and attaching ourselves to him, like grabbing hold of him and not letting loose of that grip, which is what this is talking about, regardless of where it goes, you know, goes up to the cross, attaching ourselves that kind of way. Now it's got to be the work of the Spirit. It's got to be a work in the Spirit. But, oh, I cannot let myself think that just because I can say a bunch of words, I can talk the talk, that therefore what I'm doing is walking the walk. I fall short. I fall short. Again, it's the work of the Spirit. But then there is a, got to be some kind of willingness too, you know. So anyway, we fortunately have a very good God who is full of grace. But my, you are right. We need a revelation, and I think we have we've gone quite a ways into that revelation. I think we have. And yet, a full revelation involves some doing, I think. You know, it's not merely knowing, it's doing. That's the fulfillment of having a revelation. And oh, I see myself short in that, you know.
In 6:17, I didn't read this part. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart. That from that form of doctrine to which you were delivered, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I was just sitting there after I said all that. See? It says, you can be free from sin. You know, I don't believe that most of the time, but now I believe it more only because, yes, I still sin, but if I repent and I desire not to, I'm becoming free from sin. You know, I'm not totally there yet, and maybe in certain aspects I am, or you are. You know, if we accept this, because it says if you identify with Christ and you want to die with him in baptism, you're free from sin. You're dead to sin, you know, and alive to righteousness. So, you know, we really don't have an excuse if we come to that place, you know. If you don't see that, of course, well, you know, then none of it really means anything, really. Or you can ease your conscience and think you're there, you know. But yeah, it's, you can, and I keep seeing that. That's been popping up. It's like the Lord keeps throwing it in front of my face. Because when you read 3 John, you know, or 1 John, actually 1 John, there's so much being said about you're not to sin, but you're not sinning if you da-da-da, you know. And you got to read all those scriptures to see them. Man, they're hard. It's like it doesn't make sense. First it says, I will sin, I am a sinner, but if I repent, I'm free from sin, and then if I keep walking, I'm not a slave to sin, you know, I mean.
But then you say that you don't sin, and then you're a liar, and then you're really in trouble.
Right, right.
I think the difference is the law or by faith. Law is under the sin.
Right.
But if Jesus died on the cross, and the law is no longer valid, you aren't sinning because you're not underneath that law.
Which it actually,
I don't know.
No, you're that's yeah. Because in chapter 5 of Romans, it kind of goes over that.
Yeah.
Because what it becomes is, it's a gift. The one man you got sin, you were condemned.
Right.
The next, the second man, you receive the gift from God. Of grace. and righteousness and repentance, you know. So it's a gift, and it repeats it quite a few times, that the one man brought the gift. It's not by works, it's, you know, you're not going to, it's a gift. And if you accept it, then you start walking in righteousness, and you start walking with Christ.
Thank you.
So, anyway. And the gift, says, is free. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if one's, by one man's offense many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus the Christ, abounded to many. How can you change the meaning of what that says to be deities, you know?
You know, listening and thinking, you know, we don't use God enough. He's there. We just don't use him. We have all kinds of books written on knowledge and stuff. And this morning, I was looking up, I read some scriptures here, and I was trying to find, I Googled it like a fool. And I got everybody else's opinion, but I didn't get the opinion. And so after all, I realized, why am I Googling this? Why don't I just ask the source? Why don't I go to the source? You know. But what I was trying to find out is, in Mark 9, I'm reading it there, and it says, just going to read the verse, scripture, the words that, their worm does not die, and their fire is not quenched in hell. So I thought, well, what is the worm? What is the worm? What does the worm represent? You know. So I looked it up in Google. Got all kinds of answers, but I'm not sure I got the right ones, you know. But, you know, why don't I just go to the source and ask, you know? Yeah. Well, I never did find out. I got lots of opinions on what the word is.
Well, but if you put it before him, I believe that eventually he will provide an answer.
Yeah.
You know.
So, it was just kind of disturbing. The severity of other people's opinion what hell is, you know.
Yeah.
I could have my own opinion, you can have yours, everybody could have their own opinion, but, you know, and I guess that would be based on the kind of life you lived and what your opinion of hell is, you know.
But I think it got to the heart of the matter of what Ken was bringing, because Ken was going through the scripture, and it basically comes back to, you're not going to figure this out. God's going to tell you. And if you wait for God to tell you, or you seek God telling you instead of trying to seek it out from a natural or a man way, you're going to miss. Because left to our own devices, we're going to get it wrong. And he gives us that clue. He says, if you try and figure this out, you're going to miss. So anybody that spends any time doing it that way, I mean, you got to be careful. Searching the Word is not trying to figure it out yourself. You're searching the Word. Mm-hmm. So don't misinterpret what I'm saying there. But, you know, as I was thinking, we were talking about, you know, what do you go to a church? If you go to a church to reinforce what you think, on one hand, that's not a bad thing if they've got truth. On the other hand, if you're seeking a church that doesn't have an unfolding revelation, then you're just not moving forward. And so, you cannot stand pat. I mean, you don't have all that you need to know. You have to continue to keep seeking, and you got to seek by searching the Word and letting God and the Spirit bring it to you. And that's what encourages me about what God is doing in our fellowship, because we're all seeking. And we're all seeking God to give us revelation and enlightenment. We're not saying, hey, right, spend some time and went through Romans, and this is what you need to know. We're not taking that tact at all. I spent some time in Romans, and God showed me this. and that, I think, is where we want to be.
I'm just paging through, but I went to Galatians, and in Galatians 5:4, you have become estranged from Christ. You who attempt to be justified by law, you have fallen from grace. For we, how do we get this? For we, through the Spirit, eagerly wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ, there is neither... You ran well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth?
We wait for a robe of righteousness, huh?
Yeah, he said it better than I did.
Which the Spirit puts on us.
Exactly, yeah.
Oh, Lord.
Thank you,
Lord. Roll the righteousness. Send your spirit. Put it on each one of us, oh Lord.
Yeah.
Put it on each one of us. Thank you, Lord. That'd be so good.
Thank you for the promise.
Yes.
Paul and Ephesians prayed for all of us. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him.
Thank you, Lord.
It goes on to say more that you receive, but that's the main one.
We really do know, don't we, that to know him is to receive. The way that we would know him is by way of a gift from him. That's how you know him.
Yeah.
Heavy on the gift.
Uh-huh.
Heavy.
Heavy on the gift, not something you did.
Yeah, right.
Not something you earned.
Yeah, it's a gift.
It's a gift.
Didn't serve it, but it's a gift. He's willing to give it.
And I think that is something that we have had experience with. You know, some things we can say because that's what it says. We're familiar with what it says. That's the thing that, I know it. It happened to me. I mean, it's a gift.
And all we have to do is look around at us, probably to ourselves, and we know it. But it's a gift.
Uh-huh.
We certainly didn't earn it or whatever.
We're not walking so brightly that we
are. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not that it's complete or anything, but.
No. Yeah. But it's a glorious thing. You just love it.
Yep. He loves us so much. Likewise, we're to be like him, which gets back to when we talk about what God's giving us and how we would minister to people and to be doing it in love. Because it's not because we figured it all out. It's because he gave it to us and he showed us.
Yeah.
Well, in Galatians 5, life in the Spirit, you, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge in the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. So that's our command.
Yeah. Lord, yes. Yes.
And it goes on, talks about the fruits of the Spirit, which I love. I love the fruits of the Spirit.
I love the thing in the Gospels about the blind man who somehow learned that Jesus was close by somehow, you know. And he calls out, makes kind of a spectacle of himself, and people tell him to come on, quiet down, don't do that. Well, that doesn't stop him. He just keeps doing it. And, that prompts Jesus to have him brought over, and he received his sight. But, to make a spectacle of yourself? Now, you want it to be on an occasion when Jesus is by and able to respond, but you know, if the man had been acting according to conventional behavior or whatever, he never would have gotten his sight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If he just behaved himself,
or if he blended in.
Right. I want that willingness. That, come on, Charlie, behave yourself. Don't act like that. And disregard those admonitions.
Amen. I mean, you don't want the flip side. You don't. This is not a license to be not proper, but it certainly smacks of exactly the way God set it up.
Yeah.
Might not necessarily be neat or easy, but it's going to be effective.
Or in tune to what the government tells you to be.
Yeah.
Isn't it sort of like, I think it was Glenn who said we don't use God enough? I mean, in a good way. And isn't that true for this blind man that, people can say, well, you're using him. But that's what he's there for. I mean, if we don't call out in our need, he gives us the free will to sit on it. Mm-hmm. And to keep sitting on it and to keep sitting on it. And when you call out to him is when he comes in right away and he's there for you. He's just, I mean, it's sort of like, I've just been waiting. I've been waiting for you to ask me. Because there's nothing too great for me to take care of. There's stuff too great for you to take care of, but not for me.
Yeah.
And that's where I think I myself lack in that, because I'm like, oh, you know, asking for prayer for the same thing or something over and over again, you're going, I shouldn't ask for prayer for that. That should be gone. I should be fine. I should be, you know, we do the should, would, coulda, why not? You know, we fall into that categories of, it's not right. I shouldn't bother God. You know, he's got bigger things to do. Well, he doesn't. He's got, I mean, he's got all the time in the world. And the thing we keep forgetting to do is to ask him. And he keeps bringing things up in our life. And I think as we progress in our walk, there's going to be more and more things that come up. More and more situations, more and more realizations to have an opportunity to minister to people, have an opportunity just to talk to people, or have an opportunity just to be there for people. So, you know, we forget that we are the example of Christ. And I can tell you, I haven't been a walking example of Christ. Unless he's turned into a sailor on a, you know. I mean, there are times that our flesh gets in the way of us, and he still loves us through it. But, like I said, we need to keep asking.
Yeah.
You know, and it's okay. If you ask, I mean, how many times did that blind man ask him? We don't know. It doesn't say, I mean, he could have walked around going, does anybody know where Jesus is? I heard this guy has, you know, he can do things. He could have walked from town to town, or it could have been just a fluke. These are the things that we don't know. And yet, if I know that Jesus is near, I'm not going to stop asking him. And we have to be, and almost somebody would say, well, you're selfish. No, this blind man wanted to see. And he called out. Isn't there one time in the Bible where somebody's calling out and the disciples say, you know, don't bother them, you know. Hey, that's not what Jesus is here for. He's to be bothered.
And there's the parable of the person who's knocking at the door. I want. And he said, no, go away, it's nighttime. Don't bother me. But he kept persistent and finally said, oh, I've got to answer him just to get rid of him.
Yes.
But we need to have that spirit of
wanting
bad enough.
I mean, if you wouldn't turn away, I mean, that's the heart that we need. So
if you really want to, keep asking.
Yeah.
Well, when we brought the little children.
Yeah.
I think that was it.
Yeah.
And you say, well,
don't bother him.
And then he says, hey, that's who you're supposed to be.
Yeah. Also, when there was the person that was casting out demons that wasn't part of their group, and they went to Jesus, you know, and he told them, he is doing my work or something like that. Yeah. But also in Ephesians 4, I don't know if it's read over here, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ.
You know, in connection with the guy that was knocking at the door, wanting bread, they told him, go away. Everything's locked up, and I'm in bed with the children. He keeps knocking, the man gets his bread.
Yeah.
I think about kids pestering their mother in a grocery store.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
No. They keep pestering. Hey, lo and behold, they end up getting the thing that they are pestering for. You know? Now, it's easy enough looking at the outside to say, oh, mom, come on, don't give in like that, you know. But especially when your kid is being a spectacle in a store.
Yeah.
Kid knows that. You know, he knows he's got her in a good place of leverage. But anyway, I think that is the closest that we get in our lives. We don't worry about, you know, people coming around for bread at nighttime or an unjust judge. We do see the parable, though, when in a grocery store when a kid is making a big commotion over wanting to get this thing, and you know, it eventually works. You know?
I think it's a good thing.
Yeah. It's funny that Jesus, I mean, there's nothing too great about the unjust judge giving in, you know. Oh, I'm going to get tired of this show.
Yeah.
He never particularly says, well, now God is not just like this, you know. He leaves it up to us to kind of work out how God, you know, why God would respond to that same pester and annoyance, or, you know.
It could be a test to see if we really want it.
Yeah, well, that's it. Yes, that is it. That is it. But Jesus doesn't tell us about that. Mm-hmm. I don't think, you know.
But then I, you know, there's sometimes when I think, well, is it because I don't have faith? Should I keep asking if I have faith? I don't know. But he says to keep asking. So, mm-hmm. I guess we have to ask with faith constantly.
Maybe you'll be fortunate enough that you aren't supposed to have it. He'll let you know like he did Paul.
True. Yeah.
You know.
Yep.
You gotta keep seeking.
Until you hear.
So Jesus was given all authority in heaven and on earth. So do we pray to Jesus or do we pray to God?
Again.
Yeah.
On the way to the Father.
All authority. You know, when you say all.
Pray
to
God in the name of Jesus.
Yep. So they're not wrong to pray to Jesus.
No. Because he's the way to God.
Jesus. The only way.
Exactly.
I've been thinking some about this, you know, pestering God, what with my diagnosis and so forth. And the news has been good and so forth.
Yeah.
Still, hey, I really better be an annoyance to God. And in some funny way, it's almost a blessing to have a situation where you have an opportunity to have something be as important as that, to be that annoyance, to live out whatever that parable is there in the Gospels, you know. And hey, you know, you could just let it go and shrug your shoulders. What will be, you know, God knows, you know. No. That's not, yeah, you roll over and die. Well, God's will, heaven, you know. I be like the Be like the widow or whoever that was pestering the unjust judge. Make yourself a dang nuisance.
Well, why do we pray? Do we pray for us, or do we pray for God? We pray for us. Prayer is for us, I think. It's not going to change God's mind, but it's for us to see or do or whatever.
Yeah, but in the Old Testament, God did change his mind.
Well, yeah, but I mean...
that's a tough one, because you think about the parables... Boy, the guy that's all locked up and he's got bread and he kind of changed his mind. The neighbors, okay, I won't bother them. We'll just stay hungry. I guess we don't change God's mind, but hey, if we don't do it, it doesn't happen. If we do do it, it does. So. Oh, what do you call that? That's something kind of close to changing your mind.
Changing his mind.
I don't know.
For us.
You know, it's a tough one.
Yeah.
I don't know if it changes your mind or you're just changing the outlook of it.
Something.
You know, he probably is the one who puts it on your heart to pray for what he's going to give.
What he was going to give, yeah.
That's the way I'll analyze it when I see a kid pestering his mother. God put it on his heart to keep pestering her.
Oh dear.
I don't know. That analogy was great years ago, but lately I've seen too many of them that I don't think I'd go along with the kid. Is that in the wrong spirit?
Well, it's not a perfect example. It is an enactment of what's being talked about. There.
Well, but how often you do that really comes back to the question of is it a necessary demonstration of faith to move upon God? You know, he knew what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. He knows, you know, what your faith is. But, you know, we hear all these stories in the Bible. We're talking about people who, despite what it looked like in the natural, continued demonstrate their faith and belief that God, through Jesus, would do what they were seeking. Mm-hmm. And it seems that's the theme, because we were talking about it the other day, about the one time Jesus was ministering, but the people really didn't believe in him, and not so much happened. You know, he left, because they weren't exhibiting faith at that time, and very... No faith, no blessings.
No.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And then, too, if you keep asking, you're showing faith that it's going to be answered.
Amen. That's, yeah.
So.
At least that's the message I get. Seems
mm-hmm.
like those.
Yeah.
You needed to keep asking, or you endured.
How sincere are you in this effort?
Yeah. So it just isn't a one and done, and it just doesn't happen. You know, which mm-hmm. Susan kind of spoke about, it seems like I shouldn't need to do this, I've already asked, but I'm still trying to overcome. You know, it seems like that's, you continue to ask until you are able to overcome, or until you are blessed. Or get that what you're seeking. You know, there's nothing wrong with having to continue to do it.
You know, I'm just thinking here. Even though God knew, or God changed his mind, he knew the outcome of that before it even happened. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So
he knew the level of faith.
He wanted to see what you were going to do.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know. Can't say he really changed his mind. He just played it a little different.
Well, if you do this, I'll do this. But if you do this, I won't do this. And that's kind of what he was saying in the Old Testament. If you follow me, I'll bless you. And if you don't, I won't.
Yeah, in your hands, right?
And not that he changed his mind, but I think that's just the way he set things up. If you do this, mm-hmm. this happens. You know?
Yeah.
It's like if you go and steal something, you get caught, you go to jail. That's the consequence.
Sure, California.
God bless you.
Now we're listening to a number of
love you all.